away, JMO. Do you love me?
There you go.
Jingle jangles.
Nick Cave. What's the tenuous
link? Oh, we've jumped straight right into it. Yeah.
The game last week.
Tenuous links. look, I'm sure you've all picked it up already. It's the words that are coming out of Dom Pike's mouth right now to his playing group. Do you love me? Like I love you.
Like I love you.
Does it work?
Yeah.
I don't think it doesn't kind of work with Slugger's cock rock requirement. But we lost.
Yeah, we did. We lost badly. Look, welcome Nesters. As you may have probably realised, we're missing probably the superstar of the podcast.
It's not Dave.
I mean, and Dave, it's not Dave.
Dave barely got a word in last podcast.
It's not Dave. We don't let Dave talk, even when he's on it. No, Slugger.
Where is he?
Unfortunately, travelling. I don't know. I think it might have something to do with the upcoming federal election. Maybe he's using his marketing skills for the Fishers and Shooters party, sex party, something like that.
Snout in trough.
Or he's just in hiding. Snout in trough. Or he's just in hiding after a woeful performance on Saturday night. I know a lot of Nesters just listen for sort of Slugger's catchphrases. So we'll try and put in as many
as we can. What's his most popular catchphrase?
So
the catchphrase is
Heartland Rock. Cock Rock.
Yeah, Ding Dong Battle. That's
a Ding Dong Battle.
Snout in Trough.
I think Snout in Trough is a good one.
Yeah, he would say that once a week.
Matt has and is Guy Oil.
Yeah, the butcher.
The butcher.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So I've got a few more might come to me. If you've got a bingo card,
As though he's got heaps more of it. Obviously, he's got his five stories.
We'll see how we go
publicly.
Listeners, he does in real life only have five stories, and most of them to do with his time in Germany. His disgusting, disgusting stories at German house parties.
Can you leave it at that? When you've...
Should I?
Okay.
I think we'll have to.
Oh, of course.
Unless someone's written them in verbatim, as a lettuce, in which case I have to read it out.
And there's lots of good lettuce, that'll get the listeners early.
Yeah, there is. There is. Did you have anything to talk about? Any song? Do you
No, just that it was an excuse to pay Ben and Nick on the radio. Oh, sorry, on the podcast. It was released in '94, back when, it was simpler times, and even when we lost a few games in a row, I wouldn't be this disillusioned. Well, so it just, it just reminds me of good days.
I read the same Wikipedia article as you that said it was released in 1994. It was recorded, though, in September.
Between December and December. September and December, apparently.
It's September and December. But I wonder whether, is there a tenuous link between 1993, the greatest season that was, the Crows sort of faltering at the last line against Essendon?
Yeah, well...
In that final series. Perhaps. But I don't know if Cornsey would have...
Well, I think they were behind Cornsey in 93. I think... It was a monumental fuck-up, the Essendon game. And...
yes, it was. And if we do know that any excuse, Cornsey will pull out his guitar.
And don't sing.
And try and do a sing-along. I'm not going to. You don't get. You're based in Perth. You don't get.
Oh yes, I do.
SENSA.
I listen to SENSA on the live app.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. On the live app, you're allowed to listen to it even in Perth. Because I didn't think you're allowed to.
Maybe get the South Australian adverts.
South Australia, but Hazy.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Noel's Caravans.
Okay, Noel's Caravans. But Oh, you do get them.
Actually, he pulls out the I very rarely listen to
Friday
it.
Friday mornings.
But yeah, I did catch Hazy saying, what did he sing this week? It was, did you listen to it?
No, because I make a point of never listening
to it. It was like it was kind of like a Pearl Jam thing, and he squeaked sort of all over the bloody guitar. Role. I didn't like it.
Oh, no. Yeah. What? No. Oh, God, it's terrible. So, yeah, but that's all we really know about Do You Love Me. But
Was Red Right Hand, so you might get a bit of action. Red Right Hand action later. Oh, we've had some technical difficulties with the music, so we'll see if we get an outro.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, the usual producer's not here this week either. Yeah, so, scores from Saturday night, I mean, even just reading them out, it's just makes me sick.
Yep.
But 9 goals 17, 71, to 8 goals 11, 59. Yep. So that's North Melbourne, obviously, up. Win, a North Melbourne win.
Only 12 points. By 12 God.
Points. Only 12 points. But you just look at the score, and we made a point of not trying to be so negative this week, because I think the last few weeks it has been, and I think there's been a bit of reaction on the old Twitter sphere and talkback radio.
A good way of looking at a bad situation is it's not as bad as it's been, right? Can you think of when we were in a worse situation than this? So early on in the season? Actually, there was. Gary Ayres led us to 0-6 one year. Do you remember that? Fuck, when was that?
Did he? And is then when... Did we cut him that year?
We definitely didn't cut him.
Craigie?
I'll search it, right?
Okay.
No, we'll never get it in time.
Okay. Okay, and while you're searching and sort of, we'll try and keep the curtains, you know, still in place, so people don't think that we know absolutely nothing about Crows history. But was round seven when we got that eventual one win? Was that when Ayrsy reacted to that crowd? You know, when he gave the finger in the box there, that sort of famous reaction.
No, I have a feeling
it probably wasn't. But I'd like to think. Oh, surely you remember. I think surely he just went absolutely batshit after the game, and he was like a bad reaction of an amateur league game, like really giving the crowd the finger a couple of times.
No, I don't screaming at him. No, I don't.
I can't believe you don't remember. We're gonna have to tweet this. Okay. I'm gonna have to tweet this
photo. Looking forward to it.
Just the listeners will remember. But so you don't remember with 0-6?
Yeah, I think it is. Look, I'm just trolling. I've got three losses in a row, so it must be that one. It must be. Yeah, I'm saying 2004.
So
2004. We lost to we lost to North Melbourne round one, 74-149. Lee Brown kicked six for them, if you remember him. Round two, we lost to Brisbane, 83-104. Voss kicked seven. In round three, I'm going to go through these, put up with it. In round three, we lost to Fremantle away, 64-73. Troy Longmuir kicked four. round four, we lost to St Kilda at home. Fraser Garrett kicked six. Mind you, Rashudo is racking up 30-plus possessions every week here. Round five, we lost to Richmond. Oh, no, hold on. We beat Richmond. We only lost the first four games. So there must be another one.
But still, 4-0 is worse than 1-3.
Oh, well,
that's what you're trying to say. That was the point.
Yeah, well, round six, we lost to Geelong by 10 goals. And then round seven we beat Port.
What's the takeaway that there are times that's
yeah well I'll check if we made finals now.
That's what you're trying to say. Okay. No. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Great. Well, that's
all I had. Did I have a Kairos Twisters and Sequence that said we made finals every year in the 2000s last week? Nestors can pull me up on that.
Oh, look, even if that was the answer, like, I have no doubt that you probably was wrong. So, you know. It's brilliant. Are we going to talk much about the weekend? I mean, it was horrible. It was a disgusting game. I had friends there. We had friends there, mutual friends that went to the game. They were even saying it was ugly at half time, but at half time, at least we were up.
I was getting messaged by friends there too. And then they were not happy midway through the second quarter, asking for money back.
Yeah, but then it just. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Keep your ticket stub because you could ask for your money back. It was so poor. But after halftime, I mean, just what could have gone wrong did go wrong. Well, not in terms of injuries, but more just.
Oh, you could see it happening, unfortunately.
Two goals in that second half. Mm. Well, you could like a slow motion car.
It was like how we've kind of played against Hawthorn at home over the past few years. You could just. See, they were just slowly choking us. It was like what's the analogy? It's like a python or a boa constrictor around you, you know? Every time you breathe out, they tense a little bit and your lungs contract a bit more. And it was, good analogy.
There you go. Good analogy. You may have heard the Eddie Betts 5AA interview before the game where he talked about, they said, are you going to change your game? From the round three loss
to the round four game
against North Melbourne. And he said, to the round four game. And he said, no, we're not, because we know that we don't score when we move the ball really quickly. We've got to be measured. We can't just do this sort of, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, see, I just...
Rip the cord, just go absolute hell for leather. And you know, we don't score those occasions. We've got to be a bit more measured. Now, when I heard that interview...
Oh, mate, we're stuffed. You know, we're stuffed.
Naive JMO. Well, no, my naive JMO thought, so, well, no, I can sort of understand you wouldn't absolutely just go 100%, blind kick up the guts every single time. But equally, surely that doesn't mean...
No, I think what happens...
at half back. And just sort of chip and chip. And that's exactly what we did the whole game. We just chipped.
I think what's happened
from
2017 is we're in that 2017 year where we came out and played slingshot basically all year, was that the forwards didn't come down as far. So, you know, we could win the ball, we could win the ball around half back. We could get it straight to a kick to someone in the midfield, you know, like someone in the forward line, and then we would have... You know, the deeper level of forwards sitting not far off them, just sprinting back, right? So say if Rory Laird would win the ball at half back, he could turn around and kick straight to, you know, a Rory Sloan or a Tom Lynch or someone kind of on the around the centre circle area. And then once that ball had been kicked and you could see it as a forward, like Josh Jenkins, see it as a forward going into Tom Lynch's hands, you just turn around and run towards goal, which was open, right? And they could just pop it in there, goal after goal after goal. But now I feel as though the opposition are clogging up that centre kick. So our forwards are actually having to push numbers up higher up the ground to actually force that contest higher up the ground. So then when we do win that ball around the centre circle, that there's no one in front because we're there making sure we've got the numbers. So... The whole game plan needs a bit of a refresh, I think.
But then I'm not doubting you at all, but surely then if the forwards don't follow their defenders into that sort of central corridor, central line there, east-west line, if we were to get a possession, if we could get a clean mark at the midway line, then we've just got a forward there standing by himself in the forward 50 that we can kick to. But I don't.
Well, you saw that against Geelong, right? So we did have someone, but they had two people back.
I guess that's the thing. We're either following them, so there is literally no one there, or they've they've still got one or two guys at
So Geelong, they kind of had less people in the midfield to clog it up, so we could actually get through. I think, you know, because we got lots of clearances and lots of forward entries in the Geelong match, but then the game on the weekend, it was all clogged up much higher. And like, you know, it's pretty rare that the Crows actually, like, unless we're playing like the really good teams in a year that we're not great, we normally always break even, if not win the forward entries, the 450 entries. Like, we've been known for that over the years.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, just, and again, 2017, it was just peppering that forward 50 and we would get ridiculous scores and win shootouts. And this game, we've kicked eight goals, 11.
So Camporelli was on the radio saying, you know, we want to move the ball out of defence in a more systematic way, and that's what's, and we're just not being able to. He said they're not doing what we're telling them to do, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if you heard that.
I did hear that. It piqued my interest as well. How you?
Well, he put the players under it.
Who's not doing it then?
What's going to half back?
Because it's pretty much everyone in the everyone in defence. But also there is a number of occasions where it was Keith or someone that had the ball. Let's say like in the goal square. The only kick they could do was a little chip to Matt Crouch, who was still in the defensive 50. But Matt Crouch isn't moving it either in a systematic, effective way that they're asking. So you pretty—it's not just the defenders that.
No, they must be. They must have implemented this. Let's hit up a target coming out of defence in a short kick, and let's make sure we get our mark, so that we can then, with that, have someone running past, and we can move forward that way. They must be trying to move forward slowly. But, you know, I think, you know, there's teams like Hawthorn that are moving the ball slower. And I don't know, maybe they're reacting to that. But it's whatever's going on. There's three things that could happen. They're not doing it to, they're not executing to a good plan. They're not bought in to the coaching methods, or the group's actually cooked. And they've actually overshot the window.
They're just fit good enough to execute this plan.
So I don't know where we're at yet.
I hope it's not the last one. I mean, we've had such four. I mean, it's been four pretty woeful games, but I would probably say the North game was the worst.
I don't think the Sydney win was very good. People were talking about that being a great effort. That Sydney win was just as ugly as the game against North Melbourne, but we were on the other side of the victory, you know?
Yeah, okay. But this is North Melbourne that hadn't won a game. This is North Melbourne where the coach was getting, you know, pretty difficult questions from journalists, basically saying, you've had enough time. When's it going to change? I'm just really concerned that I don't believe that the group is not good enough. Maybe we're not the 2017 level, but it's, you know, I still certainly thought top eight.
Yes,
I think I'm laying the blame more at the coaches, whether it's the plan or how they've. The plan itself, or how they've actually tried to teach the players to execute it. Because it's one thing to draw it up on a whiteboard, but it's another thing for them to be able to realistically undertake that.
I don't know, mate. We had our first game on the weekend.
Go on. I was waiting for a super coach story.
So we had the first.
What's the score?
17-21 to 1-0. Yeah, on the winning side. I just a few lines here or there. Reiterated that this team needs to remain our whipping child. And I said, well, actually, it was a trial match. The round one's after Easter, and I said, look, girls, it's this is a trial match. This is, you know, this is a mental thing. We could actually, you know, make them think they're better than what they are here. You know, let's not go out 100%. Let's not go, you know, bang skulls. Let's do an 80%er and, you know, and just win easily. And then when they come up against us in the season, we'll just absolutely roll them. 17 goals later, so I was scratching my head about the you know, how they played out my plan. But anyway,
did you do the whole?
Oh yeah, mate! I even threw the bloody at 3/4 time, threw the magnets in the air, which normally for the girls, because they haven't played much football, completely stuns them. They don't like playing in different positions. And threw the marks in the board, and it made no difference. Yeah.
Yeah, and okay, and even the exchange students.
No, they're not in the A's, mate. In the A's. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, we do have an American. We've got an American.
Cut them already.
She's rather good. But anyway, that people aren't calling in to hear about UWA women's football.
No. So I guess what would you? We're not going to talk about the Gold Coast specifically now.
Well, what do you think it is? Do you think the players aren't? Executing the plan? Do you think the plan's shit, or do you think the culture's the problem?
I think the plan's shit. I just think the plan's shit. I can't see how you could say that we're trying to get the ball out systematically from defence, and we have pretty much seen a fairly standard approach over these first 4 weeks, which is very, very slow. Round one, it was handballing to a guy stationary, and there was a point kick out. This week, it was just trying to chip across, never really do anything dangerous.
And then it's weird though, because like
stuck in defensive 50 for so long that we've got nothing. But we
used to be able to hit targets, like short targets. So we can't hit targets now. Like that's, you don't just lose your skill.
But I think it, because it's so congested, it's such a fine line between hitting a target 30 meters away. When they've got sort of two or three opponents around.
Well, let's just kick it to Tex. You know, Tex every time and get two centers around him every time and have JJ goosing
out. Well, if only we'd have...
Just do it.
Well, if only we'd have two front and centers every time. That's the other thing. Because of just lost all the system, you do kick it to Tex and JJ and they aren't the front and centers. Murphy's not there. Chase Jones isn't there. I mean, Brad Crouch... Why the fuck was he playing in the forward line? And I know Chase Jones got a concussion, but are we honestly saying that's our go-to guy? Someone that I don't actually think I've ever seen play the forward line.
Well, Ellis Yeoman was up there as well.
I don't know.
Plodding along. I'm not having a go at Tex like everyone else seems to be, but I think he needs to get over this kind of, I need to be a big guy and I need to... You know, I'm the big Tex bloke and I need to push people around, because he tries to fend people off every single time he gets the ball that isn't a mark, right? Don't you think? Like every time someone will kick it to him.
It's a common.
And the fend offs generally work, right? But I think it's more the mindset that he is, you know, he's looking for this physical stuff too much. It's like, why don't you just, rather than the fend off, why don't you just give the bloody first give? To the person running past and stop being so predictable that you're going to fend off every single time. And let's just get the ball moving, because he can really slow things up when he fends off one person, then he has to kind of break another tackle and then bloody, you know, the running targets run past him. And I don't know. I just think,
I know, it's just one after another. It slows it all down. It's just bloody boring.
That's 25 minutes. How's your phone looking?
Do you, I mean, we've got Chase Jones concussion. We're not sure if injuries, it's going to come up or not.
Test.
Tests. Yeah. They're saying Brad Crouch is fine with his nose. We know that Sauce is out for at least another week. Not the end of the world, because I think O'Brien wasn't too bad, and I sort of feel like Sauce isn't the main break.
Well, O'Brien went up against Goldstein in these games. Didn't do too badly. Like,
no, so look, I would have to say yes. Bring back Gibbs.
Mm.
Just let's stop fucking about. Bring him back.
I don't know how'd he go.
You know, you think Well, he did. I think he did all right, but you know, people said he was by far the best on ground.
What was the scores? Do we have them?
Yeah, I've got them. I can talk about the sample SANFL in a sec. But Hugh Greenwood's got to come back in as well. So I think it's Greenwood for his first game this year. Gibbs, that you're saying cutting Chase Jones. Are you cutting?
I think it's time. Look, I've been an advocate of Mad Dog, but I actually think now, there's probably not quite enough there.
Yep, and I know we've got a lot of Twitter reaction about who to cut, so I won't try and steal that limelight. There's a lot of examples. Some people are really swinging the axe, getting rid of six.
Wow.
Yeah, look, I can't. I just don't know. I don't know. I see pros and cons both making a couple of changes or doing wholesale changes.
They challenge Fogarty's.
And he got off.
So
Fog's off.
Makes you think that maybe he's going to get a game.
Do you reckon they'd chuck him up the front? Do you reckon they would cut JJ?
There's no way that
JJ's a big scapegoat.
They can't. He's second ruck. Like, unless they're going to chuck Fogarty in second ruck. No, I just don't.
Fogarty or
I reckon let's put Taylor at centre half forward.
I don't know.
Like I always said.
Okay. Like you always said. Put Ben Rutten back to centre half forward. The good old days. Yeah, okay.
Any bets is 300. Let's just play an all indigenous forward line and actually put some pace in there. But McAdam's injured.
McAdam's still not right.
Tyson Stengel,
unfortunately.
He might come in.
Yeah. Just why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Why not, I say. All right. Do you want to quickly? I'll talk
about NFL.
I think the Nesters have got a lot better ideas than what I do.
Most
change. Most things. Alex Keith apparently made
team of the week.
Of the week.
Fullback.
Team of the week.
Serviceable.
Yeah. Serviceable. It's the Crows. Are they called the Crows? Adelaide. Yeah. In the SANFL. They had a win. They beat the Eagles 100-77. Matty Wright. He's probably top scorer in the SANFL for the Crows. Yeah, Matt Wright. He's sort of like that playing coach role. Three goals. Greenwood 2, Himmelberg 2.
Is there Stenberg any... there's a little bit of word out here in Perth that Greenwood's not happy.
I heard a similar sort of random phone call on a talkback radio station on Monday. I haven't heard... I hadn't heard that before. I mean, the Crows gave him the shot in the...
he's got Perth Wildcat links, doesn't he?
He does have Perth Wildcats ties. I don't know. I don't know enough. My finger's not in the pulse. I'm not going to the coffee shops and sort of eavesdropping when they're having sort of
counseling. I don't think he'd be cool enough to play for any coaches. Of the West Australian teams. I think.
Oh, do you think there's a bit of does Freo have?
No. I just think the way they kind of swagger around the town, it's a bit of a different footy culture here in Perth than there is in Adelaide. Like it's really ladsy, it's really footy boys, and they get a little bit more kind of cred and leeway for like just being icons of the town, where in Adelaide people wouldn't gush when they see West Coast Eagles players or Adelaide Crows players to the extent that they kind of, that the West Coast Eagles especially think they kind of rule the roost over here. And you walk past they absolutely look like the biggest bunch of arrogant wankers, when you're down at Cot or something like that. Down at Cot. So I just wonder if... if Greenwood's, religious and Christian views, probably might cause him to be a bit of an outcast here in WA because they're so cool. That's just my
read. That's a good rebuttal.
It's all hearsay. If you want to be a West Coast footballer over here, you go into your wardrobe, you find your oldest and crappiest clothes, and you put them on, and you go out in public, and that's kind of just look down at the ground the whole time, and that's what they do. Yeah.
That's how you fit in.
Little
bit
of insight.
I'll give you some stats quickly.
Yeah.
Lid's hot. I'll give you some stats. And I'd actually made me feel a little ill just going down them. Patrick Wilson, 42 disposals. Yeah. I can't see him getting a game. I can't see him coming in. Just another sort of
hard. He must be just about one of the highest stats gatherers in, you know, Crows SANFL history. He didn't play one game.
And yeah, that's true. Greenwood, 33 disposals, two goals, seven inside 50s, 10 clearances, 20 contested. I think, yeah, he's done enough. He's got to come in. He's an absolute lock. He's got to come in. Bryce Gibbs, 28 disposals, six tackles, six clearances, six marks. That's pretty good too. That's pretty good. They're good. Lockie Scholl, 25 disposals. He's racking it up. But, you know, the Crows are so... The history of playing, you know, rookies and first years is pretty poor. The thing that doesn't make me feel that great about it is looking at the talls. So we've got Elliot Himmelberg.
He's underdone.
13 disposals, nine marks, three tackles, two goals. I guess that's serviceable. That's okay-ish. Paul Hunter.
Oh,
13 disposals.
He's a top-up player, isn't he?
30 hit-outs. Well, that's... No, he's not.
He got back on the list as a rookie, did he?
Oh, let me double-check that. I think he...
Just double-check that. How about you keep going and I'll double-check for you?
No, 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 he is. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. He's a rookie. Like Wilson and Lucky Murphy and Cam Ezra-Yeoman. All rookies.
Hold on.
And then for the
If Lucky Murphy's a rookie, how did he get on the list?
I think he's still a rookie.
But I thought we couldn't play a rookie unless there's someone on the long-term injury list. But,
no, I think... No, you're allowed to play rookies.
Can you play them now?
I don't know. This is the question for Dave. This is the question for Dave.
Oh, if he fucking ever open his mouth, we'd... Anyway. Next.
But the really worrying one is Darcy Fogarty. And it's not the 10 disposals.
No.
It's not the two tackles that's worrying. It's no goals and six spoils.
No marks.
Well, I don't know. Well, I'm surprised that they haven't given us stats here.
Oh, this is the bloody...
But,
yeah, no.
But do you say... Are we saying six
spoils? Well, he's playing in the defence.
Because he's... Why is he playing defence? That's what's making me sick. Why is he... But how is that advantageous
for I think Campo said...
The Crows group.
Didn't Campo say that playing a forward...
Like he got nine goals kicked on him the other way.
I think Campo said playing in the forward line in the SANFL and the way the ball moves is very different to playing in the AFL, and it can't be replicated. So we're teaching him how to be a forward by playing him in defence so he can, you know...
So let's not even let him sort of lead at the ball. Let's let him... punch from behind and sort of just wait back, hold back, not really get a run of things. That's fucking bullshit.
Who's coaching him? Matty Wright.
No, he's on the field. He's coach, he's isn't not, he? He's not the coach. Well, he's a part of the coaching
staff. So who are we blaming?
But I think it's Brett Burton. it is the Heath Uni. Yeah. Uni again. He's still the SANFL senior coach and development manager. And then you've got these other development coaches like Brent Riley, Paul Thomas, Matt Wright.
All those guys.
So Matt Wright's the forward development coach. Paul Thomas who's is the midfield development
who's
coach.
Who's the bloke that sits next to Don Pike on game day?
I asked this on Twitter to the group. And
I haven't got an answer yet. I tell you, Nestors, if you're worth your salt, you'll work out who he is. I'm worried that he's some kind of like leadership guy.
Oh, I'm not sure.
That's what worries me.
Surely not.
They've got some like ex-management consultant wanker sitting next to...
So
that's what I'm worried about.
Bain and Co.
Like someone like that. Someone who's on strategy.
Coming in... you've asked... Who's the bloke sitting in the right, the Don, the coach's box?
Yeah, I want to know.
Keen Dog said, hopefully won't be sitting there.
Oh,
next
he's
week.
Been there for a couple of years.
And just Jade,
yeah.
Jade, has just
said, that was a good one.
I quite like that. I like that as a throwback to sort of 2000s television. Yep. The Mole was fucking great. Grant Fowler was fucking excellent. Are you sure it's not? It's not Ben Hart. It's not.
No, Marty Matner's on the other side.
You know who those guys? Look at that. You sure it's not Michael
Goddard? No, it's not Michael Goddard.
Who's the new assistant coach?
No, it's not Michael Goddard. No.
So it's not. And it's so, and it's not Scott Campriello.
No, unless it's the stats guy.
Okay, so there's a statistician that I have.
No, yeah, well, I know. I went looking as well. This guy's, unless there's, something about all the employees at the Adelaide Crows listed, which, you know, I think that'd be an interesting move by them.
Yes.
But that's what I want to see. Basically, I want an org chart. That's what I want.
An org chart.
Surely someone can get me an org chart. Someone listening must be consulting to the Crows here. Come on, get me an org chart.
Because there was a lot of hate on Twitter after Saturday night and a lot of follow-up Sunday, Monday, and lesser extent Tuesday. But it was the first time that I've actually seen, because it's not Don Pike running Crows Twitter.
No.
It's some boffin, like media, probably not even the media manager, probably media cadet that got the passwords running it. And they're starting to respond. They're starting to reply to these tweets, like not being narky, but like, when people are saying, does this even get forwarded on? Does the Don even see this?
Yeah.
And they say, yes, this is passed on.
Okay.
So even replying. And when people are sort of saying measured things, not like we want to delist JJ immediately and sort of burn number, whatever number he is, to the ground. Number four to the ground. And never use it again. Like burn that whole locker and never use it again. When it's a slightly more measured Twitter post, they're saying, thanks, good post. Like they're even encouraging sort of mild sort of anger now, just because it's been so so emotional, I guess. Maybe now's the time. Now's the time when this cadet's sort of responding. Just sort of a measured request, like, look, we just want to see your org chart. We want to see your org chart. Yeah. We want to see the reporting lines. You know, it goes Saunders, it goes the Kanga guy who does Kanga the hamstring tech, thing. Kanga Mr. Tech Kanga. Up to Matt Hass with his Guyana oil. Up to the butcher.
The butcher.
Brett Burton.
Yeah. I thought Matt Haas was the butcher. And then,
Matt Haas, there was a story. It's like here. And then presumably straight to Rue. and probably not to Don Pike or anyone else, but maybe just like the other shareholders in the Alma Hotel.
Oh, yeah, those guys. Yeah, well. Yeah,
saying things. Yeah. And like I would say, not the reporting line for like Nigel Smart, who's the chief operating officer, his is largely to do with esports now, and possibly baseball, but nothing ever to do with football anymore, because you don't want your chief operating officer of a football club to have any fingerprint, any touch point to football.
Yeah. Well,
that's my takeaway. Yeah.
Look, Kim Ryder didn't reach out last week.
Okay.
Surely he's got a copy of the.
Speaking of the mole. Speaking of
his little pictures up on the website. That's not what I thought Kim Ryder would look like. I we've still got three Bendigo Bank people on the board too, mind you.
Okay.
Let's get an org chart because. I need to know, basically.
Yeah. Need to know, yeah.
It's got to that level because, you know, the wolves are at the doors of the Crow's Nest pod asking questions for us to go and interrogate, and we need to know the answers so, you know, we can keep the wolves at the door if they need to, Kim.
Yeah.
But if they need to be let in, I can let them into the right channels. Okay.
Yep.
Let us.
The listeners. Let us. Yeah, let's just.
41 minutes, James. Look,
we thought.
We thought we'd be done by now. How's your battery going?
Actually, just a quick update. 19%.
Okay. We should be all right.
That's okay. Yeah, we should be all right. We'll just, yeah.
Hold on, Nestus.
Let's do go.
Hold on. This is going to be a good one. Look,
have we got a teaser? Have we got a teaser yet? Because there is a game later. And that should just be enough to hold him for another 15 minutes
There's
or
definitely
so.
A trivia moment.
Okay, so this isn't lettuce or jerk, and obviously Slugger's not here to do the lettuce, and you know this is his bread and butter. But I liked the and I don't know who has the Twitter password for the crow's nest. I assume it's Slugger, when he just said just a few sort of tweets on Saturday night after the game. Ben Hart was a great player for the Crows. He's a shit forward coach.
Yep.
Noted. Tick. Noted. Minuted. Brett Burton was an okay player for the Crows who took some nice speckies. He's a shithead of football.
Yep.
Allegedly. This isn't scandalous. No. This is all allegedly. And then Mark Rosario was an absolute champion of a player for the Crows. He's likely played a big role in appointing his old mates Hart and Burton to the roles they're absolutely shit at.
Full stop.
If he did, then you could argue he's a shit football administrator. Allegedly. I think this is the same stuff we're talking about last year. Yeah. And we were hoping with Kanga Tech coming in, with a few other
Butcher getting a promotion.
Yeah, the Butcher getting a promotion, you know, sort of appointing quite a number of SANFL coaches to assistant AFL coach roles now, that this would be different. And funnily enough, it hasn't been. Proper lettuce. Vardy magic.
Oh.
And I think Vardy's actually on holiday.
With now, an exclamation. So. Oh, wow, where's he gone?
I don't know. But he said he might be sort of off Twitter for a little bit and not. So, which is disappointing because I do treasure.
He'd be a York Peninsula guy, I reckon.
Do you reckon? I got the feeling he was overseas. Oh, wow. Sort of off.
Southeast Asia.
Yeah, definitely. For 3 weeks, he's not made of money.
No, he's going to get on a boat. He's going to catch a shitload of fish. He's going to,
Okay.
Interact.
The recent AFL history is littered with stories of profound redemption.
Yeah.
Most notably, Richmond winning a flag after showing faith in Hardwick and Collingwood contesting a GF after backing Buckley when he seemed to be a dead man walking.
Mm.
So that's full stop. Yep. Huge football department changes were made, though. That's the end of the tweet number one. Mm. And I think I'll just throw in there as well. I don't know. No, probably not. Western Bulldogs was a little bit different. But definitely Richmond and Collingwood. Yeah, absolutely. So tweet number two. See, if we learn from recent history, where is the line? Is Don capable of reinvention? Or has that horse bolted? Should a Def Leppard track be the opening tune of this week's pod? Is all the current hysteria unjustified? I assume that's Def Leppard. Slug would probably tell us. Feels like 2011. Feels like 2014. Keen Dog said, yeah, play Pour Some Sugar On Me so we can imagine where all the strippers drowning our sorrows while Candy dances for 10s because that's where we'll be when the good sides are in the finals. And then Andy's just chimed in with, I'll just watch the film clip of Call On Me to cheer me up.
I feel you've slightly buggered this lettuce piece up.
What's that? Because I'm cutting bits. Because I'm trying to read it out when there's not proper.
I'm slightly lost.
Unless
they're completely on another channel that you and I don't. I understood Barney Magic's, but after that.
No, because Barney Magic is saying, like, what track should we play?
It was about the music. Oh, I thought it was about history.
That was the end. Okay. So these guys are chiming in about the music.
Okay.
But really, what Barney's saying is, like, yes, there were clubs that got success when they showed faith.
Yep.
But are we comfortable that the Don is capable of that, and is this group capable of that?
But you know what a good managed fund owner always says, JMO.
What's that?
You know, you never base future performance on past success. So I wouldn't be using Collingwood and Richmond's examples, sorry, or Western Bulldogs examples of things that may happen to us because they happened elsewhere. You need to look at the circumstances. Look, I think, it felt like Buckley lost the playing group, but it was probably for different reasons because he couldn't connect and he was, you know, over demanding and wanted everyone to be just like him. And I think he mellowed and adapted. I don't know if that's what the issues that Pikey's facing. I think Pikey's still facing the fact that they haven't got over the issues of last year and possibly they're not willing to kind of have that open forum because these things aren't that hard to fix. I wouldn't have thought. Jamie, a few blokes, get around, have a few beers, talk about, a bit of honesty, a bit of an argument. You kind of get over it, have a fight.
What was that thing? Is it leading teams where you just sort of like hold the conch and just blast everyone?
Yeah, exactly.
Just do that. Bozza.
Yep.
Bozza has said issues. So these are the issues he's identified. The crisis.
And these will be understated. Run out of defence. Yep.
Run out of defence. Tick.
Yep.
Absolutely. Forward crumbing. Yes, I agree. Absolutely. Yep. Forward crumbing. No one's around Tex and JJ when we eventually try and get it to them. Forward pressure, absolutely forward pressure. It is so, just comes out so easily.
Well, we lost our two best forward pressure people, but
Who was who are the two best?
Yeah,
absolutely, you're right. Mid speed, yes, I agree as well. Plodders, a lot of them, and tall marking option, which I sort of feel like we've got options. I don't agree that we don't, like, between Tex, JJ and McGovern, to me, not McGovern, Lynch. Fogarty. And Lynch, Lynch isn't tall, but Fogarty's sort of tallish. I think...
You just need a contest. How many times have people taken big pack marks when you work the ball up the ground? It's that's not how many teams play. Most teams are trying to find that loose player, right?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. You've got Carlton, that bloody Carlton young guy, is it Harry McKay, who's got the most contested marks ever for the first four games of a season. Yeah. But Carlton is shit. Yeah. Like, just because you've got one full forward that takes 12 contested marks over 4 weeks does not mean your forward line's functioning well.
No.
Anyway. So they're the issues, and then he's given some ins and outs. So in, Davis, Stengel,
Davis,
McHenry.
Davis. Who's Davis?
Yeah. He's played for he's played
that
for the...
Davis. He's never played yet, has he?
Has he? I don't think
he's played. No. He was here. Played. He was injured. Yep. Okay, keep going. Pick 75 or something. Yep.
I can't work it out. I can't remember. This is why we need Dave. McHenry, Gallucci,
McHenry's,
Gibbs.
Possibly injured. Yep, Gibbs. Yep.
Yep. Gallucci, Gibbs, Himmelberg and Greenwood. Now, that's seven names.
And who's he got out?
So I don't know if he's saying all seven. And then he's got out. Kelly.
Tick.
Probably fair. Murphy.
Tick.
Yes. Jones.
Tick.
I don't know if that's to do with injury.
Oh, he was ready. Probably agree. He was ready.
Cam Ellis-Yeoman?
Nah, he was
probably. McKay?
Nah, I disagree.
He's been serviceable.
Yeah, he's not drop-worthy. Buzzer can get off his... Yeah, anyway.
And Puhak, who I'm assuming is Paholk.
Look, you don't bring a guy in and drop him when the whole team's shit. So, it'd be a dog act. That's a slugger. To drop a Holkey, I reckon.
So you're saying Kelly, Murphy, Jones, yes, three outs.
Yep.
McKay,
no.
Ellis-Yeoman, no.
Again, dog
Jenkins.
If someone can do the second ruck, that they're confident with, maybe. then maybe. Because look, I've been backing Jenkins for a while, but he wasn't great on the weekend.
No, it's terrible. Paholke?
Dog act. No, don't drop him.
So even if he's come in just for one game, and he wasn't poo. Well, he wasn't poo. Okay, he was no more poo than other people on the ground. So we're saying, so you've got three locks there,
Kelly. Because you don't want to drop six people. That's like six phone calls. No, that's right. Wednesday night.
So Kelly Murphy Jones, in terms of who we're then bringing in, I still would want Greenwood and Gibbs to come in. I don't know if any of those are like for like.
I didn't hear one defender in his list to take Kelly's spot.
No, well, yeah. It's tough. Yeah.
Anyway, look, next point of view, but we have to move on.
And Dick Branson said, will never happen, but we immediately become a more dynamic team if we do those ins and outs.
Yeah.
Matt Trim said, I bet there are only two. Donna's already said no wholesale changes. And we all know it would take us being 1-9 before we tried anything remotely creative. fair.
God, the Nesters are going to be happy today that you're reading out just every single disgusting interaction.
No, I haven't. And I reckon that's about it. I reckon that's probably all the lettuce we can get. Oh, no. There's a big one. No, there's a big one. And so this is the big one here. Yeah,
piss on the sauce.
This is 52-minute mark. Yep. This is Juliet from Jocelyn. So people might remember Juliet.
Charlie Cameron fan.
I think massive Charlie Cameron fan. Yep. May have even coined the phrase electric sidestep.
Yep.
He's electric. Again, another slugger catchphrase.
Yep.
So
this just about tick them all off.
Yeah, so here we go. And this is all allegedly.
There's another slugger catchphrase.
And this, none of this is, are we saying, is actual fact. So first of all, she starts with first of all.
But she's pretty spot on.
So you know, yeah, Brett Burton has so much to answer for. Employing collective mind to get rid of the weaknesses he perceived in the team after 2017 grand final. Don Pike is also implicated. That disastrous camp in 2018. This isn't prose, this is sort of dot points. Yep. So apologies if we're jumping here. That disastrous camp in 2018. Refusing to admit the camp was a bad decision. The fitness program he oversaw that started from behind
turned dysfunctional.
Burton. Delay in giving Fagan, Dr. Susanna, Dr. So-and-so's report on the camp. So I don't know. I don't know the background.
There was a doctor's report. I remember Caro kept going on about it.
And there was a doctor's report about the Gold Coast camp before the 2018 season, and what we've allegedly heard is that Burton didn't give that report to Fagan, or delayed giving the report to Fagan,
or the AFL, or something, and it never came out. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's all adding up. And then she goes on to say, keeping Emma Barr,
that might have been the girl that I overheard Daniel Taylor talking to back in the first pod
ever
at the What's That Mother's Milk only.
In the Circle of Trust, you would have seen, you observed that, in the Circle of Trust, trusted member on the payroll. Yep. Keeping Emma Barr away from the camp.
Hold on. Does Juliet from Jocelyn have an org chart? Could I send it in, please?
Cool. She's the welfare boss who helped the players immediately after the death of Phil Walsh.
Yep.
Caroline Wilson phrased it beautifully. The Crows, who handled the horrific murder of their former coach Walsh and its aftermath with such professional clarity, precision and empathy, can lose their way when the wrong people are handed the keys.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's quote from Caroline Wilson, from Juliet Jocelyn.
And then
she's just, this is caps lock, this is sort of good Twitter stock.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't Burton get the chop instead of the people who left the Crows last year, who were all unhappy with the director of football? And then she's listed at 1-5. Mitch McGovern, number two, assistant coach Joss Franco.
Yep.
who reportedly put his concerns to the camp in writing to his seniors, but deeply unimpressed with what took place. Number three, Tate Casely, went to the Gold Coast to work under Stuart Dew. Number four, Matt Clark, who I think, I mean, he is still technically part of the Crows.
But sitting on the bench.
Yeah, certainly still, focused on the AFL girls.
Stocks have risen.
Will remain Rock Coast.
Yeah.
But Matt Clark, who reportedly raised concerns regarding the failure of the club to run the Mankind Project, yeah, past its own integrity committee.
From a veterinary's point of view, you know.
Yeah.
You can see livestock welfare issues. Yeah.
I think the thermometer up the bum was questionable.
Yeah.
Number five, Rohan Hadatua.
Yeah.
Am I pronouncing that
right? Yeah, the physio.
So the medical services coordinator left in the fallout of 2018. He was replaced by former Kangaroos fitness guru Steve Saunders and his Kanga Tech. And she's just finalised. Finally, Matt Haas is very critical of Kanga Tech. Kanga Tech can talk him and Brett Burton. No, sorry, I don't think this is making any sense now. I see what she's trying to say. She's saying Matt Haas can talk. He and Brett Burton should have been hauled over the coals for the hamstring fiasco.
Mm.
Sorry. It's very, very hard to read verbatim.
Without we haven't had a hamstring yet.
No, we haven't. So. Unless McAdam has probably done a hammy. Look, you're right. And I don't know what that McHenry's done.
It sets a trend, though, doesn't it?
It was so woeful last year, the injuries. And then you've got Kanga Tech. She said here, and I don't know how true this is, but she said Matt Haas is very critical of Kanga Tech. Well, if he's critical of Kanga Tech, how was he in the position
of overseeing
it? Why was he appointed and why has he overseen it? And why is he so critical of them?
Mm.
Well,
to answer those questions, Julia.
When he wasn't involved in the hamstring fiasco that was last year, the start of 2018.
Mm.
So that was an absolute solid rant.
Top shelf.
Top shelf. Actually, I've just checked the injury list. So McPherson has got a hamstring. McAdam calf.
Okay.
McHenry concussion.
Yeah.
So not many soft injuries and only one hammy this time around. So that's all the letters. I don't really have any jerks because I think there was...
Brett Burton.
It's all been Brett. Yep. It's all been said before.
What was your little chat? Remember when we went to the pub a few weeks ago? Did you have any little nuggets out of that?
We ran into... So this was watching the Hawks game from
the pub. Yeah, round one.
There was a guy that was very, very critical. That's right. Very, very critical of Wayne Mellira.
Oh, well, that's right.
It's just hopeless. Sort of comments like that.
Yeah.
And even when he'd sort of do semi good things, he'd sort of complain. And we got to talk to him in three-quarter time, I think, this guy. And so he was actually the old recruiter for the Brisbane Lions, wasn't he?
And okay. North Melbourne.
And North Melbourne in, like, the 90s, early 90s. In the
heydays, yeah.
I think it was before the Brisbane, like, you know, three in a row and all that. And we just sort of, like, not to, like, why would you think... We got him so early, it seemed like his progression's good. And he's just not, he's talked him up, everyone's talked him up how good a player he's going to be. He's never going to get any better than he is now. So that's what this guy sort of called out. So,
but didn't he have, he had a little bit more intel on the internal coaching setup, didn't he? Or did you?
No, I heard.
I must have been eavesdropping.
Oh, what did he say? But
he was kind of going on a bit further about the Josh Franco stuff and how there's no smart people left and that's why he left. And look, it's just another kind of bit to add to the fire. I don't want to take it too much further than that, but you know, the rumors from you're hearing it constantly that the idiots are left holding the keys. They're making poor decisions, and people aren't happy about it. So look. Let's just
in
see
charge
where it goes.
Of the asylum. Lunatics in charge of the
exactly,
asylum. Something like that.
If we lose the Gold Coast, and then I think we've got St Kilda coming up, then you know some changes are going to have to happen.
If we lose the Gold Coast this week, I think it's very much lined through the season.
Yeah.
In my view, I know they're 3-1, but they've beaten average teams.
Yeah.
They haven't really come across anyone that anyone thought was going to be any good this year. So we've got it. Yeah. But before we get to the Gold Coast game, we are running out of time. I really want to hear some of these quizzes.
Okay, well, we thought, we really wanted to make a strong push to kind of, you know, make it a little bit more happy, a bit more cheerful. I know that, you know, when the Crows lose, I don't want to listen to 5AA after the game and stuff like that. And, you know, when others, I used to listen to a Celtic Rangers podcast, Jamie, and they lost the game in 2016 and the guys just didn't do a podcast, you know. They're just that angry about things. And so I understand that, you know, you don't want to be listening to a podcast. So we're trying to make it, you know, a bit more.
And so we've listened to the Nesters and an hour and 1 minute into the pod, we're going to do the lighthearted stuff now.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Exactly. So, well, I was on holiday, like you know, a couple of weeks ago. The listeners miss my voice for a couple of weeks. So, you know, a good time when you're on holiday is to think up of some new, you know, tires, twists and things. So, look, I don't know if I've completely hit the mark with these ones. I'm a bit worried about the first one because timing might not be great with recent events happening in Paris. But I had a game called Burn Baby Burns, and it was a quick... It's a quick thinking game show about like avoiding something, you know, because Johnny Burns is really good on his toes, and also then that kind of the added layer is Ronnie Biggs was the great train robber that avoided jail for so many years. Anyway, don't know if that one's got legs. But we'll
yeah, go on. It's all right. It's all right. Put it on the list. Put it in the maybe column.
Okay, cool. Then I've got, I think this one's good, but I didn't get around to time to actually devising round one. But I reckon if we ever went to video podcasts or vodcasts or Facebook Live, we could have a go at this one. It's called Get Smart.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's around, it's a visual-based game around picking the right Clash Guernsey. So, you know when he put up the State of Origin Guernsey as our Clash Guernsey for 1 week? So the idea is that I put up a whole bunch of Clash Guernseys, and you need to tell me the round and the year in which that club wore it. Quite difficult. But anyway, we might get a game.
I think that's a yes.
Yeah.
I like that. But the caveat is we need to have video.
Yeah.
So
I won't
have... it's just a little asterisk. Yes, but asterisk next to it.
Yep. Okay. So I thought... 1 hour, 4 minutes. We'll play The Pike is Right.
Yes.
Topical.
Yeah, it's very topical.
It's just as topical as Burns Baby Burns, really.
Because
the Pike is not right at the moment, but I thought we'd give it another round. I don't know how we play this, so it's just yourself.
That's just me. So, like, maybe just give me, like, 5 seconds to get the answer.
Oh, that's a long time.
So you tell me the question.
Okay, so for those who haven't played with Pike is Right again, Pike is Right before, the premise is I read out a name of something and... It's either a pike, a fish, or it's a pike family, a medieval weapon. So pike being one of those long-handled spears, and a pike fish being, you know, very generic fish. It's kind of has family all around the world. So Jamie, you ready to play Pike is Right?
Yeah, right. Let's go.
What's your buzzer?
Jammer.
Okay. So first one. Halberd.
A fish. Jammer. Fish.
No.
Oh.
I think you're thinking of haddock or halibut. Halibut. Yeah. But no, Halbert is a long-handed battle axe. So that's zero for you.
yep.
Next one.
Yep.
A flashulum.
I'll go Jammo fish yep. again.
No, you're wrong. So a falchion is a single-edged sword.
Okay.
Next one. Yeah. Essox.
Well, I just, by law of probability, I'm going to go fish again.
Yep. That's a Northern Hemisphere pike. One more. I've got a few, but I've got about six, but we'll have one more. It's getting it's tiring. Quickly. A flail.
I'm going to go weapon.
Yep. That's
a 2 out of 2.
So you got 2 out of 2. That's a pass. So that's a long-handed stick with a striking metal head on a rope. So just picture that. So it's got this spiky kind of ball hanging off the end. So it's like a mace, but on a long handle.
Oh, right. Yeah, and like, would you, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Good. That's great. Cool. Can I just... So you had some other ideas for game shows, but just the name?
Yeah. Oh, you had a few. Show.
We had a few. So
yeah. Okay.
The first one would just be The Chase. You know it's that terrible Channel 7 show.
Oh, Chase Jones. Yeah.
And then Chase Jones. Yeah.
And what's the concept?
No. Look, you think of the name first, and then you work out if it's got legs, and then you work out the format. So hasn't got, because Chase has only played 4 games. So
it'd be something much. About getting head knocks and missing goals.
Yeah. And then this one's not the best one. But you know how there's that Tom... what's the fucking redheaded comedian name from...
Tom...
ABC. Tom... Ballard. Fuck. No, not Ballard. It's the redhead. He's sort of the cynical guy.
Oh, his name's not Tom, is it? He's Australian fast bowler. Oh, Tom Gleeson.
Tom Gleeson. Yeah. He's got hard chat. So this one would be Hardigan chat.
Oh, God. That's that's not that good. But what's the concept?
Something about what did you do about Hardigan? Making bad choices under pressure.
Yep, okay, that'll do. Righto.
I'm going to wrap this up.
From one bare-boned defender to another, we've got Blockbusters returning. So
we've actually got another game.
We've got another game. So I've got 5 Blockbusters for you.
Oh, shit.
So this is how we know the real distance here. Okay, so let's go round one, Blockbusters. Test your buzzers. Yep.
Jammo.
Righto. Okay, the first one. I heard that Big East Lake bloke died the other day. What was it from?
I'm gonna give me the initials.
I heard that Big East Lake bloke died the other day. What from?
Yeah, you gotta give me
DH.
DH.
Yeah.
Daryl Hart,
that's it. Yeah. I think Daryl Eastlake, did he die from a heart attack? I think he did.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. Works.
Well, I got it.
Yep.
Got it, yep.
that jockey, or that jock, wants to be a karate kid. That jock, or jockey, wants to be a karate kid. SL.
Yeah. SL.
That jock... And that jockey, person, wants to be a karate kid, SL.
So I'm thinking, okay, so is it Scott Lee?
Yep, Scott Lee.
Oh, there you go, because Lee is sort of a...
Bruce Lee.
...a karate kid.
Yep.
And then...
Scott.
And then Scott, because it's a jockey.
Yeah. Okay,
all right. Yeah, that's good. Just teetering on the... teetering on sort of that racism.
Oh, well, if you think that one's bad, then couple of this one. Okay. Next one. Sorry.
Yep.
I'd love to get my hands on that tennis trophy.
I'm
Do you know it? Do you need the initials?
Yeah, I need the initials.
PD. I'd love to get my hands on that tennis trophy.
Oh.
Come on, you've got them all. I know.
PD. Well, I'm thinking one of those would have to be like a tennis trophy name.
Yeah, so what's that?
But I'm only thinking like Hopman is not something.
No, I think bigger and grander. PD. Yeah,
PD. But like the Australian Open, it's not. Well, I don't actually know what the names are.
Team Tennis.
Team Tennis. No, I'm going to have to pass. I'm passing. D.
Phil Davis.
Davis Cup.
Yeah. I want to get my hands on it. I want a Phil Davis Cup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is the toughest one.
Okay.
Last one.
Okay.
Murphy's been beachcombing again. I'll say it again. Murphy's been beachcombing again. Do you know it?
No.
DS.
DS. DS.
DS. Murphy's been beachcombing again. I can hear people yelling it out in their living rooms.
It's not Seedsman, because that's not DS. I'm pass.
I mean, you don't find seeds on a beach either.
No, but I thought it was seeds, you know.
DS.
No.
What do you find on a beach that starts with S?
Seaweed?
No, something else. It's quite a lot, actually. what do beachcombers take? They don't take sand or seaweed home, do they?
Shells. Daniel Shell.
Shells, yeah. Daniel Shell. There you go. Daniel Murphy. You know, Dan. Murphy. It's a very common Irish name. Anyway. So quite racial, that one.
And so, look, we're up to the Gold Coast. Jamo's got less than 10% charge left.
We've already gone for an hour
and 15 minutes. Gold Coast, Sunday, Sunday afternoon. If we lose this one, it is all over.
Gut the team, gut the squad. Keep the five best players over 24 and gut the rest.
Yeah.
Over 24.
Yeah. God.
Rebuild.
Yeah. I'd probably agree. You know, Adelaide's the only team with an unbeaten record against Gold Coast. That's a hell of a stat.
I was thinking that we must be the only team left.
Yeah. So,
we are.
11 from 11. We should win and we should thrash them to actually make a statement about. We're moving forward beyond those four first pitiful rounds of football, and in particular North Melbourne. So I'm saying 10 goals and doing it for Eddie. 300 games, Eddie.
Yep.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Tyra, you?
Sounds good. Yeah, I think we'll have to win, but it'll be tight again.
Okay. So not 10 goals.
No.
Nestors, thank you for bearing with us for this 75 minutes of nonsense.
Yeah.
Slugger will probably be back next week.
Yeah.
And we'll try and get all four of us together again because they're the best ones. I do think some of those new games has got legs, particularly Get okay. Smart, if we can sort
get
this
smart.
Out.
Get Smart.
Yeah. Do you have an outro or are we just calling it there?
Oh, if you keep talking for 5 more seconds.
I don't think anyone's going to appreciate that. So let's just call it. We'll see you next week, Nestors. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
All right. Do I stop?